Okay, I want to start with a little bit of history about our church. This church started in 1931. It was known as Charlton Avenue Baptist Church, largely because it met on Charlton Avenue. Here in Hamilton, not far from here, a group of people who believed that a unique church gathering in the name of Jesus was necessary in that neighborhood. And the church started out in the 1930s, and like any other church, it had its ups and downs, seasons where things seemed to go really well, times when things seemed to be a little bit more challenging. Back in that time in history, if you go through the first couple of decades, one of their biggest challenges was in World War II. During World War II, you can, again, only imagine the impact that that had in every phase of culture on the demographics that were around, or the people that came to the church, the people that were in the neighborhood. There were some different twists and turns as they tried to navigate all the things that they were navigating back then. There came a time in 1949, so after World War II, and things had shifted in different directions, there came a time where the church was looking for a new building. At that time, it was actually because they had more space than they needed. And the story goes that there were two women. They worked in the same factory here in Hamilton, and they were the daughters of two churches, one of them being Charlton Avenue, the other one being a Reformed church that was just down the road from them. And they had, in their churches, unique challenges, one that had too many people and not enough space, and one that had too much space and not enough people. And so as the story goes, these two ladies would get together at lunch and during their breaks while they were working, and they would always talk about life and the things that were most important to them. One of the most important things to them was their church, and so they talk about some of the challenges, and as they realize that, hey, our church, we're bursting at the seams, too much people, not enough space. Our church, we've got more space than we know what to do with. The story goes that they got together and they came up with an idea to tell their dads, maybe we need to swap buildings. And actually, that's exactly what happened, is the pastors got together, they started talking about it, the boards of their respective churches came together and they figured out values of the buildings and the properties, and they discussed it, and they ended up swapping properties. So at that time, Charlton Avenue moved to Dundurn and Main Streets. At that time, they changed their name because they weren't on Charlton Avenue anymore and adopted the name Westside. Right now, there is a payday lender where that church used to be. It was a Taco Bell for a long time. I don't know which one is a little sadder of that was there now, but it doesn't matter. But in the early 1960s, when they were at that location, and they started growing again, and they were bursting at the seams, they actually were looking at different options for how that was going to work, and their pastor at the time, Henry Ford, not that Henry Ford, but Henry Ford, decided that they had this urgent need to provide more space to accommodate the growth of the church and their Sunday school, we mostly refer to now as our children's ministry or Westside Kids, but was just growing and growing and growing, and they had this sense that we need to make sure we're supporting this work and we're supporting the growth and what God is doing, and that we're making sure we're getting behind that and what is going on there. And that led them eventually in 1963, March 1st, is 1963, 63 years to the month, 1 week out on March 1st, they purchased the property here at 261 Whitney Avenue. Soon after that, they began building, and on June 10th of 1964, 62 years ago, the first service in this building was held. And a lot has happened since 1964 when this building opened for services as Westside. I'll give you a little bit of history of what was happening in the world so you can think about that and what life was like. In 1964, the Prime Minister of Canada was Lester B. Pearson. Canada was at the time debating and preparing to adopt the new Maple Leaf flag, which happened the next year, 1965. Some of the biggest songs of the year, I Want to Hold Your Hand by the Beatles. The Beatles were getting real popular here in North America as it was translating across the ocean. Pretty Woman by Roy Orbison. I Get Around by the Beach Boys. This was the sound of 1964. Some of the biggest movies that people were watching were things like Mary Poppins, My Fair Lady, and a James Bond film called Goldfinger. Around the world, global events, things were happening. The Civil Rights Act of 1964 was passed in the United States, outlawing racial segregation. Nelson Mandela was sentenced to life imprisonment that year in South Africa. NASA had a space program that was continuing called the Apollo program, aiming to land humans on the moon. I don't want to lower the mood in the room right now, but here's what some things cost in 1964. The average house was about $20,000, but the average salary was about six, okay? So I know it's not 100% same growth rate, but a new car would cost you maybe about $3,200. The price of gasoline, did you check gasoline on the way in here? I know we're not having a great week there. 9 cents a liter. A movie ticket costs you about $1.25, a loaf of bread, maybe 21 cents. Most homes had one television. It was probably black and white. Color TV had come out, but it was expensive and most people couldn't afford it quite yet. Families typically had one car, if any car, and in that year, this building opened. And of course, a lot had changed since 1964, and a lot has gone on, and a lot of lives have been touched, and a lot of lives have been transformed by what has happened in this building and by groups of people over those decades following Jesus and creating a community. And I can tell you that because I'm one of those people, and I can bear witness to that. A lot of you will know, I spent most of my childhood growing up here at Westside and in this building, and then came back as a young adult after spending a decade or so away. And a lot of really important milestones in my life actually happened in this building. Things that, when I look back at my life, are like massive, massive moments. So, for example, I met my wife in this building in the nursery. We were 2 years old. We were young, but sparks flew, emotions ran high. We didn't know exactly where things were going to go, but here we are today, a few years later. This wall behind me, see this black wall behind me, was not here. This is relatively new. We put this in. Behind it, there's a cinder block wall, and in the middle, there's a big opening, and just behind that wall is a really large baptismal tank. That's where we used to baptize people. We don't baptize people there anymore, mostly because it is massive, and it's way too much water, and it would take us pretty much, you had to start filling it on Saturday if you had a baptism on Sunday, but I was baptized behind this wall right there. My wife and I were married right about here, except this stage looked different, and there was a big cutout that was down here. The choir loft was just behind me. I also preached my first sermon, my first message in like real adult church, counts, not youth group, right here. And so for me, I look back and I think about the history of Westside, and I think about the people who once upon a time saw what God was doing and how he was growing the church, and I'm sure they had a little glimpse of what in the future life could look like and the kind of impact that could be made on people's lives, and of course not knowing so many of the people that would come through these doors and be impacted, not knowing me, not knowing my family, not knowing any of you, and yet they went out and they bought this place and they built this place and they paid for this place. And I just realized what an incredible debt I have to those people who came before and who were willing to sacrifice so deeply because of what God was calling them to do. And today, we're very excited to announce the launch of our Making Space for Everyone Capital Campaign pledge card, or our Capital Campaign, which has a pledge card. We'll talk about that later. But to launch what we believe in our generation is God's call on us as a church and as a community as it relates to this building and how we believe that God is calling us to continue to support what he's doing to reach people in this neighborhood, to help people in their discipleship as they follow Jesus, and to continue to watch him do incredible things in our neighborhood, in our city, and beyond. This, what you're going to hear today, what we're calling our Making Space for Everyone campaign, is about updating our building and making it more functional for some of the most important things that we do that we need to make sure that we have space for. And so we're going to be talking about our outreach and how we support ministries like the Alpha program, the Alpha course, which has been one of our most effective ways to reach out and to share the love of Jesus with our neighbors, our community, our city, other programs like our discipleship programs, things like practicing the way that we're running right now, helping again to give people the tools and resources they need to facilitate their walk with Jesus, their growth in Jesus as his disciples. And so a big part of what we want to be able to do is make sure that this building functions for the things that God is calling us to do, that the way that people can move through our building, the spaces that we have, and you'll hear in a few minutes about opening up space to make sure that we have space for everyone that we want to share the love of Jesus with. We want to make sure that this building is accessible. And in 1964, when they bought and built this building, which we're so grateful for, front of mind for them was not accessibility, but we realized that we're at a place we're very far behind in that. Right now, today, when you come into our building, if you want to fully participate in, for example, our kids program, you need to go upstairs. Our youth program, you need to go downstairs. There is no accessible washroom on the main floor, and so if you come into this building, the stairs are a huge barrier, and we have realized, and there's quite a bit of research now that indicates that it is possible in our churches, not just our church, but in our churches in general, one of the most underserved demographics are people with mobility issues and disabilities and their family. And if you think, even this morning, that some of us, it's not always easy to get to church, and we had a time change, and you got to get out of bed, and maybe you had to get yourself ready, maybe you had to get kids ready, you had to travel here, you had to come here, and if you added on onto top of all of those things, that this is not an accessible place, an accessible building, that you might not be able to get to a bathroom, that you might not be able to get your kids into their program, certainly not in an easily accessible way, to realize how actually heartbreaking it can be to know that we have physical barriers in this church for people that we desperately want there to be no barriers for. If we want the good news of Jesus to be accessible, then we need to make sure our building is accessible as it possibly can be. And so today, we are launching our Making Space for Everyone campaign, and we're very excited to share with you where we're at. We did share a little bit about this at Christmas time, before Christmas time, and leading up to Christmas. But today is our official launch, and we want to share with you what those plans are. Some plans have been happening behind the scenes, and we've been working to a place where we could come and present it to you. So I want to invite up here Ted Van Egdom. He's one of our board members and the chair of this project, and Mark Nyman, who is our project manager for a construction team. And these guys have been doing some great work, and they're going to share a bit about where we're at and what our plans are.
Thanks, Dave. Today is we're super excited to launch this program. You know, Dave was going through all of those stats, and I don't know if you're like me, but I don't remember any of those stats because they predate me. So that just gives some context to the fact that this is the first major upgrade for the Westside community here in our building. So again, much work has been going on behind the scenes for a number of years now. We've been talking about how do we make the building more accessible and how do we make it more functional. And we've been discerning this as a board. We've been praying about it. We've been talking about it. Yeah, we just felt the time was now. And in order to do that, in the fall, we had some initial discussions with some of the membership to say, hey, is this a program that you would support? Does this make sense? And as a backdrop to that, we looked for some pledges or some support to kind of kick this off. And we used that as a gauge to discern whether the time was now. And I will say that, you know, we're really blown away, to be honest with you, that already we're launching today, but we have 37% of the funds needed for this project already earmarked. And we just think that that's like a testament to God's faithfulness in this program as we get started. So as a board, we kind of kicked off a special committee to discern how to do this, and you know, with the goal of kind of taking some of the day-to-day needs of this project away from our very gifted leadership team, and move it to kind of a type of a arrangement where we could have somebody from the community managing this. So we tapped on Mark, this handsome-looking guy here beside me, and Mark is going to lead the project for us. And so we're going to take you through a couple of the renderings of what this looks like, a little video, and share a little bit more about what this looks like.
Thanks, Ted. Good morning. We're really excited to give you a quick rundown of exactly what this project all entails. Dave walked you through kind of the motivation for where all this started, and that's accessibility. The two biggest components of the accessibility issues at Westside are the stairs, obviously, and no bathroom on the main floor. So the two biggest components of this project, the first one is we are going to install an elevator. That elevator will go to all three floors and remove the barriers for children and for youth ministry and, you know, bathroom accessibility in the basement. And the next component is we are going to add a universal bathroom here on the main floor, which will be wonderful for getting access to the bathroom without having to go to the basement. We are going to knock out all of those beautiful walls that you see on the hallway as you walk in here. That opening all those walls will allow us to have a beautiful open meeting space here on the main floor. There's some beautiful pictures here. Again, I don't have the fancy charts and graphs that Todd and the finance team love to show you, but I do have pictures. So some of these pictures will change a little bit as the design changes, but this is a pretty good snapshot of what we're doing here. You see the elevator there and that here in the picture. And that's a bathroom. The bathroom is going to be unisex and universal and have a change room, a change table, etc. in there as well. And then there's a beautiful shot of our open meeting space. This space is going to allow us to have way more opportunities for discipleship, and Dave walked you through the different options that we'll be able to use that space for, and we're really excited for that. With that comes some other changes. We're going to move our entry on the side over a little bit and make that a double sliding door, and more of a traditional stairwell where the stairs are now. And then as you can see, as you walk in that side door, the elevator will be right there with the bathroom. And when you make changes of this magnitude, they're all the really exciting pieces that also have to be done, which is like your HVAC updates and your electrical and all of those things that people are really excited for. A lot of that is going to be moved upstairs onto our roof. And with that, we're adding some exterior cladding to hide some of that. And when we do that, we're going to give the building just a beautiful exterior facelift on the front as well. On this rendering here, you'll see there's a covering over the side door. That's going to change a little bit as we work with the city with permitting. We have to figure out exactly how that's going to work. But at some point, we will have some kind of covering in that space there. And again, wonderful plans. The construction team consists of Andrew Calvert, Matthew Rebau, and John Lensing. Those three individuals have done so much work way before I jumped on board. They've been working at this for about a year, and they have done an amazing job creating all these renderings and the design and the initial brainstorming of what this project's going to look like. So we're excited to lay that out for you today. Oh, actually, sorry, I forgot one thing. Dave talked about behind the wall here. It's a mystery. Most people don't even know what's behind there. There's a lot of space behind there. We are going to do a revamp of that as well. We're going to, unfortunately, take out the 60-year-old baptismal tank, and we're going to clean that out and create some more office space because our green room area will have to change a little bit with the bathroom and the elevator additions. Yes, sir. The timeline, lots of questions we've gotten around that is when's this project going to happen? We are currently finalizing the design phase. We're finalizing our drawings and getting into the permitting process. That we're hopeful can be wrapped up in the next couple months where we can then send that out to contractors to start bidding on this process. Again, once we start working with the contracts, we will have a much clearer idea of when we can do this project. Our goal as a committee is to be as transparent as possible with that. Once we have clear ideas on timeline, we will communicate that to the church as best as we can. But right now, we don't exactly know when we will be able to do it. Obviously, sooner the better.
Great. Thanks, Mark. So what do you think? Yeah. Very, very exciting. I think the renderings and the work that's gone into this so far are amazing. Mark said, we will be. We don't have all of the answers, obviously, so we will be as transparent as possible, keeping you, giving you updates on a kind of a regular cadence. The project, we expect it's going to come in around $1 million. So that's kind of what we've earmarked as the needs to get this done. To share a little bit, as I mentioned earlier, so 37% of that has been raised already today through a combination of cash and pledges. So the cash component is about half of it. You'll see that that is already in a in an account allocated for this. And half of it is in pledges that have been put forward already before we've launched this campaign for 2026. And then we are going to have an, again, it's Dave's going to explain a little bit more in detail, but the pledge program can, you know, obviously span a couple of years if that makes sense for you. We want to find a place for everybody to participate here. That's super important. This is a family initiative. And so you'll see a small number there from 27 to 2030. Again, that's a lot of what we've had supported so far is coming in 25 and 26 contributions. So in order, obviously this isn't a forum for question and answer, but we want to facilitate that forum. So we have two sessions planned on March 10th and March 24th, 7 p.m. both nights. We'd like to invite you if you're able. We'll give you a tour. We'll show you the pastoral spa that's back behind here right now and that we're going to remove. But just to have you walk through the building and see a little bit of what the plans are, talk to the design team, talk to the construction team, and yeah, answer your questions. If that doesn't work for you, but you would still like to have a one-on-one conversation or maybe with your life group, we're certainly willing and able to do that. And Dave will talk to you about how that can be arranged as well. So again, we're super excited. Thanks for hearing this initiative, and I'll turn it over to Dave.
Ted, you said you weren't going to mention the pastoral spa. Okay, went off script, fine. I was thinking about those people that I mentioned before that have bought this property, built this place, and paid for it. And it reminded me, as we now talk about funding this project, it reminded me about a passage of scripture in 2 Corinthians, and it's a passage where the Apostle Paul is talking to the Christians in Corinth, and they're raising money for the Christians who were in Jerusalem who were experiencing famine and persecution, and he was talking about their generosity, and here's what he said. He said, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." And what a great description of those who sowed years ago, who saw the opportunity of buying a property like this and building a building like this, an investment that they believed would have a kingdom return on it. And I shared with you a little bit about how I know that I've benefited from those people doing that and making sure that this church building was here. The truth is that we have all benefited from that investment. This is a place that was bought for us and built for us and made ready for us and paid for us. And it has been a place that for many of us, and we say it's a building, it's only a building, but it's been a great tool that God has used. For some of us, it's a place where we found God, where we found community, where we found a healthy landing place when we needed one, where we've rekindled our love for Jesus and for others and for our neighborhoods and cities around us. And so today I want to challenge you, I want to challenge us as a community to ask, perhaps this is a moment for our generation to step up and ask, are we willing, are we ready, are we excited to invest and to sow seeds that we believe God will use to grow a harvest, grow fruit for many decades to come? Reading that passage, I have a couple of rules. We're going to have to fundraise this, and Ted lets you know. Our target's $1 million, and we're already about 37% of the way there. How are we going to get the rest? We are going to fundraise. We're going to look into some grants. We're going to pursue all the avenues that we can. Today, we talk about the challenge to us to ask ourselves, what might God be laying on our heart in terms of the generosity that we might be able to provide for this project? Here's a couple of rules that I want to just put out there as we do this and as you think about how you might participate here. Number one, this is a project that's above and beyond our normal operating costs. And so we can't just take money that we normally already give to make sure that this place functions. We're so thrilled. We're so grateful for all of you who give on a regular basis if you do that. And if you haven't begun to do that already, and Westside is your home, I would actually encourage you to start there. Start giving regularly to our operating fund, our regular fund, to be part of what we're doing here. This, we're actually asking all of us to think about going above and beyond. We can't just take that money. We have to keep doing the things that we're doing. And so we're actually going above and beyond to provide what we normally give to provide for this project. The second rule is that we are not giving out of guilt or compulsion. As we read that passage, this isn't about a guilt trip. This isn't about you have to, you're compelled to. We're forcing anybody to give anything. God loves, it says, a cheerful giver. And this is simply an investment opportunity that we believe has eternal rewards attached to it, or eternal returns that are attached to it. And so it's for us to look and to say, is this an opportunity where we can invest our resources collectively? Because we believe that for decades we will see a return on this, and the return will be for the kingdom. The return will be people's lives being changed, people having the opportunity to be able to access everything that happens here. And not only here, but what this building allows us to do to make sure that our services are online for people who can't get here, for us to broadcast into Burlington and our congregation there, and for this to be a real hub of ministry in a number of different ways. So I want to show you this pyramid, and just to illustrate something that Ted mentioned, that we believe if we're going to make space for everyone, we're going to need everyone to help us make space for everyone. And we want you to know that there is a level at which we believe all of us can participate. And I want to encourage you to look at maybe a graphic like this, and this is some of our math to say, how are we going to get to $1 million? And this is going to take gifts. We've all been in different spots in our lives, all have different resources and gifting to be able to respond. But there is a space for everybody. And so it might be $1,000 to $5,000 over the next few years, all the way up to $100,000 that you might feel like God has equipped you and encouraged you to give in generosity. But we would love for you to take an image like this and just to prayerfully ask God where he might be equipping you and where he might be calling you, on what level to participate. And we believe in equal sacrifice, but again, that looks different practically for all of us. And we believe that together, all of us having a place where we can participate, where we can give, that together God will provide for the work that he's calling us to do. So today when you came in, there's a little package on the seats in the row around you. You'll see that there's a small one-page description of what we're doing that you've heard here today. This is what the project is about. I'd love for you to take that and put it somewhere that you'll see it and remind you to be praying for this, praying for God's provision, praying for the fundraising, praying for the construction. Put it on your fridge, put it in your Bible, put it, you know, on your table if there's a place where you pray on a regular basis, and have this with you to remind you of the impact that we think that this project is going to make. The other part of that package is a Making Space for Everyone pledge card. And we would love for you, again, thinking through that pyramid, we would love for you over the next few weeks to prayerfully consider how you might participate. And then on Easter Sunday, we're asking if you would bring those pledges back. And there's a tear-off section on the bottom, so as you fill out the top, we would love for you to return that to us, and we can help you fulfill those pledges. There's a number of ways you can do that. You can consider perhaps this year, as we know that costs are going to happen this year as we start this project later this year. Maybe there's a one-time gift that you would like to give. And also, maybe you'd like to pledge over the next few years, maybe it's over a year or 3 years or even longer than that, where you would say every month or every year, I want to pledge a certain amount to a certain total to make sure that we can do that. And so if you would fill that out and return it Easter Sunday for us, would help us really gauge where we're at and how things are going and what options we need to look into, and allows us to have a bit of a relationship with you to help keep you updated on those pledges and how they're going, and to make sure we can fulfill them. There's also a tear-off section where you can tear that off and write that down as a reminder for yourself and keep it somewhere where you can be reminded of your commitment as we go and as we fulfill this and as we prayerfully ask God to provide everything that we need. Ted mentioned it, a couple of options for us to drill a little deeper than we can on a Sunday morning. And so on starting this Tuesday, we have a night for you to come, take a tour, see some of the parts of the building that'll be affected and some maybe that you haven't seen. We'll be able to answer some questions. We'll be able to talk a little bit more in depth. We're going to have our engineer here. We're going to have our architect here. And so if you're really into some of those details, some people who can really talk you through that, as well as us really just sharing our heart for what's going to happen here. So that's going to be at 7 o'clock this Tuesday, the 10th, and then 2 weeks later at 7 o'clock on the 24th, come here to the building and meet downstairs in the youth room, and we'll take some tours together and we'll talk. Again, you might be looking and thinking through how you might participate in this, and you might want to talk to someone on our team, one of our pastors, or somebody on our Making Space for Everyone team. You can send us an email at makingspace@westsidehamilton.com. And we'd love to connect with you there and figure out the best person for you to talk to, and we can set up a time to meet or a coffee to go a little deeper in there as well. Because again, we would love to make sure that you feel like you're informed and have your questions answered, and that we can clarify anything that we might be able to clarify for you. And in the midst of this, what we want to really do is we want to offer our hearts and trust to God that He would provide everything that we need. God is not begging anybody for anything. God's not worried about these resources. He doesn't think this is too big of a project for us. He has those resources, and I think He's going to place it on our hearts and make sure that He resources us with everything He's going to ask from us. And so please be praying alongside of this as we all come together. And my prayer and my heart for us really reflects what Paul said to the community in Corinth at the end of that passage that we read, when he said, "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things and at all times, having all that you need," and I'm going to add, "so that you can provide space for all, you will abound in every good work." And imagine the good works that through a project like this, God is preparing for us to participate in, to plant seeds in now, so that as we generously sow, one day we will generously reap for His kingdom and His glory here at Westside. So Heavenly Father, thank you for the great history that we have here at Westside Church. We thank you for those who have gone before us and sacrificed, those who prayerfully considered what you were calling them to, those who built and those who gave and those who created programs and opportunities for people to hear about you. Thank you that we here in Hamilton and in Burlington, we are the fruit that some of them sowed seeds to see, even though they never knew who we were. But God, we have benefited from that. Now, would you help us to be the kind of people that sow those sorts of seeds, that we might see for generations to come fruit and a harvest of people in our city, people online, people in Burlington, people continue to come to know you, and people have an opportunity to grow as they follow Jesus and become His disciples. And in all these things, we pray that it would be for your glory and for your kingdom. And in Jesus' name, amen.